Jack Jordan dance!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
NASCAR says they will have a kind of playoff next year, but we don't know what the format is yet. Mark Martin's not happy. So? But among retired drivers that fans do care about is Dale Earnhardt Jr., and he's going to try to put a car in the Daytona 500 again. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Adam Alexander from the CW and Doug Turnbull from PRN and the 5 to Go podcast.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have Adam and Doug here. And man, let's talk about this playoff. I mean, NASCAR says we will have some kind of playoff, Adam. The thing that intrigues me is the most vocal guy about this has been Mark Martin. And I'm trying to figure out why.
Well, and you know, here's what I would say. Here is my why on the whole subject. Why now? If you just dropped in from outer space, you knew nothing about NASCAR, and you hear all of this talk about this format just didn't work and we've got to do something different. We've got to crown the proper champion. We're not doing that. And the fact that Connor Zilich didn't win the title after winning 10 races, this isn't fair. I want to remind everyone, we've been doing this for 12 years. Like, why all of a sudden is this? And I'm not making an argument for or against. I just can't understand why now we have this drastic outrage about the way we decide a champion when this has been the way we've executed the plan for more than a decade. So I have a hunch on that, but I just feel like that we went from not really caring and everything was okay, and maybe I'm just naive and head in the sand, but I feel like this year we just got so aggressive and having to find a new plan, and that surprised me from the fan base a little bit.
Well, and I think part of the problem, to Adam's point, Doug, is that NASCAR said during the year, we're going to look at changing this thing. And I think maybe that was the worst thing they could have done, is to say, we're looking at this and we're going to do something. And that just opened the door.
Yeah. And to go back, Brett, and mention what Adam said, okay, in 2013, at the end of the year, or early 14 is when it was announced. 2014 was the first season that we had it. All right. Social media was rampant back then. It was, I would say, at least a degree less negative at that time. I'm not trying to remember the past with rose-colored glasses. There's still a lot of negativity. But one thing that changed a lot from that point to now is the explosion of the NASCAR podcast verse. All right. And in particular, drivers like Denny Hamlin and Dale Jr. having a platform that a ton of people listen to, separate from our regular pillars of programming and separate from this long-running show. And I think when some ideas get planted, and not wrongfully so, it's just different. When ideas get planted from a little bit of a more rogue or novel space, I think it has more chance to grow than some random person blogging about it in the corner on the internet. I think the tension with the format was always there. But especially when Mark Martin, who said he was responding to what he saw fans say when he would run into them or get messages from them, I think that's really when you had some media members catch on and then drivers talk even louder about it. So, yeah, it's tough to pinpoint that. And I think you both make a great point, is where did that come from? It seemed like we were kind of happy, but I do think the tension was always there.
Well, the thing that baffles me about Mark Martin is when Mark Martin was driving, I don't remember Mark Martin being like the mayor of the garage. I remember Jeff Burton being the guy that people would go to for
an
opinion.
That was his nickname.
Yeah, he was the mayor. I don't remember anybody going to Mark Martin to ask him, or Mark Martin offer his opinion about how to make things better. Now, all of a sudden, Mark Martin's been retired for 15 years. Why should his opinion carry more weight now than it did when he was a driver?
Well, and I said earlier, I have a hunch on why all of this came up now. And you referenced the fact that NASCAR said early in the year, maybe late last year, before we turned the calendar, we need to look at something new. Don't remember the exact timeline when all that became public. I had heard some of those whispers behind the scenes, and obviously it's all out there now. Whatever the case may be, my thought is that the way, you know, Joey Logano won the championship last year, and knowing where Joey Logano sits with the fan base, and how many, you know, there are a lot of people that love Joey Logano. He's got a great fan base, but there are a lot of people that are a 180, and there's not a lot of gray with Joey Logano when you talk about the love-hate relationship he has with the NASCAR community. Not only did he win the championship and, you know, didn't have the best year, but then the way he was able to advance past the Roval when we thought he was eliminated, and the 48 is DQ'd, and that allows Joey to advance, and then ultimately he wins the title. To me, because of Joey and who he is and how he won the title, that put a sour taste in some of the fan base's mouth that said, we can't do this anymore. And that created this sense of urgency. I feel like that was the catalyst that got the conversation going, got the fans turned upside down. And then, you know, we started having these talks about needing to make a change. And here we are. And it would appear that something different is coming our way for sure in 2026.
Well, I think the one thing it sounds like from what NASCAR has told the teams, Doug, is we're not going to have the 1-36 season-long champion, which right. I think is the right move. Because I think we've talked about it on the show the last couple of weeks. Nostalgia is a wonderful thing. But there are a lot of us, some of us in this room, that have covered the sport back in the 80s and 90s and watched a champion be crowned with three races to go, or to have the last, you know, in the last race, the guy only had to finish 30th or better to clinch the championship. And that wasn't great. And, you know, at least there's going to be some type of playoff. And I've gone back to this the last couple of weeks and said, hey, look, Ross Chastain, great guy. I love Ross. But one of the reasons Ross Chastain's a big star right now is because of what he did in Martinsville a couple of years ago. And he would not have done that if it weren't for the playoffs.
Hey, by the way, did you see that Trackhouse installed the Martinsville wall in their shop recently? By the way, I saw that on social media, just to that point about the Hail Melon in 2022. Hey, and look, there are big pros and cons to any answer. And that's what I'm afraid of is if NASCAR makes any swing they make, if they make no change, big response. If they go to 1-36 format, and it, especially if it doesn't work how people think it would work, big time negative response. And if they do something that's more likely like a modified version of the knockout format we have now, or the 1-10, or rather the 10 race playoff that used to be called the Chase, either way, there is a reason why you don't want it. And let's think back to 2004. All of us were involved in the sport in some way in 2004. I remember when the Chase came out and being on a racing show at my radio station in Atlanta, and hearing people call in upset that they were going away from the 1-36 format. But I do think that Adam had made such a great point about the reason it really took off with Mark Martin talking about it a little more and then them creating a playoff committee to just explore some ideas. We got a hint of what was going to happen even before we were told for sure. Playoff format is when the schedule, the broadcast times, got put out, what was it, last week? And it said playoffs for the last 10 races. We knew that at least one of the options was off the table.
I will say this too. I do feel like there's going to be, you know, some playoff format, and that's basically, you know, in regard to conversations I've had with some folks and then also what's been said publicly. I mean, I just feel like that's the direction we are headed. And, you know, if you read between the lines, I think, with some of the things that have been said, you probably feel like it's going to be just that 10 races. We reset it in some way and have 10, you know, races to go after a championship. I, though, back to what you said, Brett, is I want the eliminations. I want that. If I had a vote and I were a, you know, someone that was invested and was able to make the decision, that's what I would want. And I would want it for two reasons. One, I do believe those walk-off moments in elimination races are what create stars. And you referenced, you know, what Ross Chastain did, but countless times have drivers had those big dramatic wins in that game seven moment that wouldn't have existed if we didn't have those elimination races. So I love it from the competition standpoint and the star development standpoint, but I also think about it from the business side. And when you look at the way we are structured right now with the media rights deal, we got 2 5-race segments in the summer. You had networks that said, you know, we'll take 5 races. That's not an enormous chunk, but it was enough for them to make a difference. If you do this, you know, 3-3 and 4 or 4-4 and, you know, 3, I mean, however you want to structure the rounds of the playoffs, I feel like there's value in that down the road when the media rights deal is up to go out and say, ESPN, you know, do you want 4 races? Fox, do you want to get back in the fall and have 4 races? You know, Amazon, you got your 5 in the spring, you know, late spring, early summer. Do you want to have 4 in the playoffs or the 3-race championship run, whatever it may be? I just feel like that is really sellable and great for the business of NASCAR.
Well, and speaking of the business in NASCAR, if you're sponsoring a car, and this is, I've had some disagreements with people on X about this, who've said, why, you know, if I'm a sponsor, I want the season-long championship. And my argument is, no, if I'm a sponsor, my car's in 10th place in August, and I have no chance of winning the championship, I want the playoffs. because my guy's going to get a lot more attention if he's battling for a spot to get in the playoffs, which still gives him a chance to win the championship. That's what I'm paying for, Doug.
Yeah, and see, I agree with that. But also, if you're 17th through 36th in points and the last 10 races of the season start and you're not in the playoffs, you suddenly have less value than the lack. It seems like you would even have less value than you would if it was a 1 to 36 format, because the wins and the races are equal. You know, it's just tough. And that's why I'm saying any format, it seems like there's a pro and a con against it. But I do agree that teams and sponsors, and as Adam said, TV networks, y'all both made excellent points, want added value at the end of the year. And frankly, every sport has playoffs. I know it's different because all the teams play each other at once, and you have less and less drivers competing against the rest of the field, so they have more to lose if they make a mistake. We saw that in the championship race a few weeks ago. But I'm really interested to see where NASCAR finally lands and how they respond to the what is 100% certain, guys, you both know it better than me, the amount of criticism they'll get no matter what they decide. And it's kind of unfortunate because I'm ready for a fresh start, whatever it is.
Well, what's the old saying we heard from our friend Tom Jensen? What are the two things that NASCAR fans don't like? Change and the way things are.
That's right. That's very fair. Very fair.
All right. When we come back, Adam, you talked about Joey Logano and how maybe Joey Logano winning another championship kind of sparked this look of change. Well, NASCAR's put out the results of their driver ambassador program this year. And one of the guys who's most involved in this, who's getting out amongst the fans, is the guy you're just talking about. We'll talk about that when we come back.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace cars, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of the 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business. Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Doug Turnbull from PRN and the 5 to Go podcast. Adam Alexander from the CW. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. NASCAR has released the results of their driver ambassador program, and there's a lot that goes into this. You know, driver opportunities completed. They had 5,569 NASCAR and track requests. There were 2,250 of those. They said NASCAR driver social followings gained since January over 800,000, which is up 4.5%. But the thing I find interesting when I look at this, Doug, is they have, now I don't know what turn one and turn two, I don't know how they divided up the year. Turn one finishers, number one, Joey Logano. Second was Kyle Larson. Third, Ryan Blaney. Fourth, Ross Chastain. Fifth, Daniel Suarez. Term two finishers, Ross Chastain, Joey Logano, Daniel Suarez, Christopher Bell, Kyle Busch. When Joey Logano is first and second in basically fan engagement, and this is a guy who goes on Sirius almost every week for an hour.
Yeah.
And takes calls. And well, I love the calls a lot of times. I can't stand you, but I appreciate you coming on and taking my call. Why That's do like people not like this guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's the same stuff we outlined in the last segment of sort of how he's won races and some of the people that he's butt heads with, no less being, and it was not as remembered in the highlight reels, but he and Chase Elliott, the sport's most popular driver, won again, by the way, a couple of weeks ago when they clashed at Bristol. I think it was 2020, if I'm not mistaken, or 2021 at the spring race on a PRN. That, you know, he's clashed with a few drivers, and for some reason, I don't get it either, because he always, with the fans, you see him one-on-one and with the media, he's very chummy and very positive. I want to point out, too, that Joey Logano also goes in the booth on for different TV broadcasts. I certainly did a lot with Fox in the past. I know that. And I saw that Ross Chastain was on the list. I knew you were asking about Logano. The only thing I could think of, Brett, especially to your point, I'm sure you saw this too, Adam, is how many times Ross Chastain was with us on PRN. And I'm like, if this guy didn't finish in the top five in the DAP, I don't know what you need to do, because he was on rain delay shows with us for hours. Okay. So pretty impressive to see what the drivers did. And also, too, Daniel Suarez. So here he was, outgoing, losing his ride, but never stopped promoting the sport. Probably needed to more than ever to keep himself relevant to get his next ride in Spire Motorsports.
But and to Doug's point, you spent a lot of time with Joey on the Xfinity broadcast on the CW, and you did before that on Fox. I mean, the guy is a wonderful ambassador for the sport.
No doubt. And I would say that, you know, you just can't beat a first impression. And the first impression of Joey Logano so many years ago, 2008, whatever it was, when he turned 18, you know, Joey had this arrogant swagger about him. And it turned fans off, because it's like, what have you done? The old sliced bread deal. And Joey is transformed and is a totally different human being now. It's always funny to me when I think about the run-in that Logano had with Kevin Harvick at Pocono. And, you know, who wears the fire suit in the family and all of that. And years later, how good of buddies they were and how they worked together. And, you know, so Kevin had moved on. The fans, they did not. And I feel like that lingers today. And that's what creates some of the hatred for Joey Logano. But I will say this. Joey is as reachable as any driver I can ever remember. And I realize we sit in a different seat. And we have more connection and more reason to connect than the everyday person. But Joey is so reachable and does so much to give back. And I realize the appearance thing, you know, there's a financial benefit to that, right? And it's competition too. And these guys all love that. Joey is doing a lot of things you don't see that do a lot of good for a lot of people. So he gets a reputation that he probably doesn't deserve. But I would say that Joey understands, good or bad, as long as they know you and they embrace you, that is a positive thing. And he's taken that and run with it. And obviously he's been very successful, not just with wins and championships, but in marketability as well.
Well, you mentioned Ross Chastain coming on a lot of the PRN Xfinity, now O'Reilly Series broadcast this past year. Super guy. I think I like the guy a lot as a dry. And he gets criticized a lot by fans because the reputation he had developed as being super aggressive, and a lot of fans didn't like that. But look, here's a guy, again, finished fourth in one term, first in the other term, who's out there doing a lot of outreach to fans, who's nothing but good for the sport.
Very approachable, by the way, is going to take advantage next season. So we'll have him on a few less of what's going to be called the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series next year, because he's going to be running more of that series' races for Junior Motorsports. So hope we see him up for some truck races some. But yeah, he's very approachable no matter what. And I think he could end up being, if he ended up becoming a champion and being someone that won multiple races a year and reaching the level of Joey Logano or Ryan Blaney, I get the sense that he would be just as approachable. And part of that, guys, and you were there for it, is he spent years with start and park teams and mid-level teams just hoping to get a bite of the apple of the Cup Series. And instead of letting that kind of gloss him over, he never lost touch, being almost 30 years old and being really full-time in Cup, never lost touch with what it took to get there and all the struggle he had to have when he wasn't one of the end guys. And I think as much as Logano exploded onto the scene, and I'm not saying he didn't fight for it, but he didn't have to wait as long to get there. Ross Chastain having to wait that long to get there, I think, helped make him the man who he is and be, again, so approachable.
And it's been interesting to hear Justin Marks talk about Chastain and how he needs to be the leader of that organization now, because you look at the other guys who are driving for Trackhouse now, Shane Van Gisbergen, yeah, similar in age, but basically, you know, not
50,
a rookie
50
still.
50 career starts, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then Zilich coming in is the kid, and so Chastain's been paired with a younger crew chief, so he's going to have to kind of mentor this guy, bring this guy along, but also be the leader in Trackhouse.
You know, it's kind of funny when you talk about Ross Chastain. Some people grow and get better, and their status changes, and they change with it. Ross just simply cannot hide who he is. I mean, he can't. He's never changed, and we talk about him coming up to the booth. He did the race with us. First time he had done a TV broadcast was at Texas spring of 24 when we had the unbelievable finish with Sam Mayer, and beats Ryan Sieg. That's the first time he'd ever been in the booth. And I just remember him openly talking about how nervous he was, but the impression he made with all of us is his ability to articulate members of every team, because he had probably driven for that team at some point in his career or knocked on the door. He knew the owners. He knew the sponsors. It was remarkable to me. And the point I make with all of that is he's never forgotten where he came from and really has not changed who he is, despite the fact that he's won crown jewel races, he's been to the championship four, and is someone, as we think of, as an upper echelon driver at the top level in NASCAR.
Still a watermelon farmer, right?
He is indeed, yeah. Never takes his boots off, right?
You know, it's funny. I was on vacation this past year, and my wife and I had gone to Europe, and we were on a ride riding through the Greek countryside, and I see them farming watermelons. And I said, I got to take a picture of this. And sure enough, I took a picture of it. Next time I saw Ross, he said, you got to see this. I said, here's your competition overseas.
That's right.
And he looked at it, he goes, we do it the same way, man. We handpick them and throw them in the back of the truck.
That's right. Yep.
Hey, I remember we were in Texas, I think in 2022, doing just the Xfinity race. And we went to First Watch or something to eat breakfast. And I saw him sitting at the bar at First Watch, not the bar to drink, but just the breakfast bar by himself. And I sat, you know, a couple seats away from him. And I saw they had a watermelon, a non-alcoholic watermelon, like fruity mocktail or something. And so I ordered that. And I said, hey, Ross, cheers, man. And he goes, oh, yeah, my family did those watermelons. So, that was cool.
So I'm looking at this ambassador thing. And they said that earned media mentions from January 1st to November 9th, almost 4 million, which is up 17% for drivers participating in the program year over year. Is there any way, Doug, that NASCAR is going to be able to, I'm not going to say monetize, but actually measure if this is effective?
Gosh, that's tough to say. I mean, you have actual numbers here. I get a little tripped up with, you see me looking at the side, I'm looking at those same numbers you are. I get a little tripped up with digital numbers because I feel like, much like with TV and radio ratings, you can sometimes make them say what you want. I think NASCAR had a lot of room to grow. And so I'd be interested to see in year 2, 3, and 4, if this program could continue to get that 4% growth. And the key to this, and you guys know this better than me, being in the industry as long as you have, you've got to broadcast outside of your borders. And drivers have done that going. I'm looking at some of the things they've done. Jimmy Kimmel, the American Country Music Awards, Sesame Street recently with Bubba Wallace, several different big podcasts, including Pat McAfee. That's what you've got to do, but you've got to do it consistently. You can't have Kyle Busch going once a year on Pat McAfee's show, and that'd be the only time Pat McAfee mentions NASCAR, because most people are oblivious to what is happening in our bubble. So I still think, as great as this happened, drivers need to step it up more and more and with more consistency, regardless of a DAP program or not. That's the only way this sport grows.
I will say this. I feel like, and I tune in to Sirius XM a lot, you know, when I'm out and driving around and just trying to pick up some nuggets or hear a comment from a driver or crew chief. And I felt like this year, more so than ever, when I tuned in, there was a top shelf driver that was on the show, and it was more of a regular thing instead of a special event, which speaks to what we're talking about here. It served me, but it served the fans in a great way. And the other thing I would say, I'm wondering when we're going to start hearing about NASCAR drivers having Tommy John surgery, because I felt like they threw out more first pitches this year than ever. So evidently we are embracing this from a driver perspective, and they're out there doing their thing, because we saw them, you know, a lot of places we would expect to see them, but also some places that we don't always catch them as well.
Yeah. When we come back, Dale Jr.'s back at the Daytona 500, but he's not going to be driving. He's going to be pacing again. Stay with us.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk.
We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes, and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning, and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Adam Alexander from the CW and also Doug Turnbull from PRN and the Five to Go podcast. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Well, we all remember Dale Jr. pacing up and down pit road at the Daytona 500 this past year. Adam, he's going to be doing it again as he's taking a car down there and going to put Justin Allgaier in it again and try to make the Daytona 500. I know that gets a lot of attention, doesn't it?
No question. And I just go back to the reaction that he had. And you think about his accomplishments in NASCAR as a driver, and you know, he's won the Daytona 500 multiple times, and just his history in the sport, and he's a Hall of Famer, and all that he accomplished behind the wheel, and certainly as a car owner in the Xfinity Series. I mean, you know, won championships at that level and done unbelievable things there. But to see his reaction, one, when they qualified into the race, and then two, when it was all behind him and they finished in the top 10, it took me back a little bit to see the emotion that came with that. And I feel like you saw that again when the announcement came out and he reflected on everything they went through and just the magic that comes with walking down the pit lane on Sunday morning at Daytona and knowing you have got a car in the 500. And no one really can articulate that like he can. And the other big owners in the sport right now today are locked in. And that's not the case for him. And to me, that just adds an element. So it's exciting. It's great for the sport. And someone, you know, just personally that knows Dale and is around him, I'm happy for he and Kelly that they have this opportunity. It's fun to watch unfold.
Yeah, coming back with Chris Stapleton and Traveler Whiskey, it's going to be, you know, I kept hearing him talk about how Chris Stapleton just ate it all up last year, just had a blast and really wanted to be involved again, Doug.
Yeah, I think that's great. And talk about, again, and I know that these are adjacent deals, country music and NASCAR, but we sometimes are oblivious to how oblivious to people outside of our bubble are. We talked about that last segment. Having someone that's a name brand like Chris Stapleton with NASCAR's biggest brand, I don't think anybody can argue that, Dale Jr., that's a great combination. And let's not forget, too, as much as the attention goes to Junior and Junior Motorsports and Kelly, Justin Allgaier, I think we can all agree, there is no one more deserving than he to have this opportunity a second time. And the way that he was able to race his way in on the last lap of his dual race last year and then squeak in to get a top 10 finish after the last lap crash in the 500 was unbelievable. And we know, I mean, Justin Allgaier has all but said he's down to his last year or two in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. You know, and he's right at the end, and to get the chances to have a chance at the spotlight when his Cup career never did blossom like his O'Reilly Auto Parts career did, that's a big time thing. So a lot to root for there.
Well, let's talk about his O'Reilly Auto Parts cars this year. I mean, he got three of the four cars in the championship four and yet wasn't able to win the championship. He's already shuffled around the crew chief lineup, and part of that necessity because Jim Pulman left and went over to RCR, and he was, of course, the championship-winning crew chief for Justin Allgaier. So Andrew Overstreet is moving from the number one car to be with Justin Allgaier next year. Corey Shea is going to be Sammy Smith's crew chief next year. Marty Lindley will be back in the 88 this year, but instead of having Zilich in that car, he's going to have Rajat Caruth in that car on a part-time basis. And then you got the 9 car is going to have Shane Van Gisbergen and Ross Chastain running partial schedules. And then, a guy named Rodney Childers, who I think the guy's had a little bit of success in the Cup Series. He'll be the number one crew chief. And he'll, of course, have who's running?
Carson Quaple. He's going to do most of them.
Yeah,
Connor
he's
going to
do most of them.
Connor well.
Zilich. Yeah.
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 So
it's hard to keep up with because there's so many split cars and schedules. So you did a good job getting through that, Brett. Props to you.
Well, and here's what I'll say. This is my sympathy play for the show. I'm going to start now until I'll probably be doing this till May of next year. Okay. Xfinity goes to O'Reilly.
Yep.
And figuring out who is in what junior motorsports car. Okay.
That's
as
right.
I do
yeah,
all
gosh.
These races next year on CW, I'm just going to ask that you cut me a break until we're back here in Charlotte in May. Okay.
No, no problem.
Maybe by then I'll have it all figured out.
Will you learn as fast as O'Reilly Counter Service?
There it is. Whatever the card says, Brett, you know?
You know, there's a little frustration, I think, for the fan base about Carson Quaple. Wait, how's he going from full to part-time? This is a gritty racer. And Rajat Caruth, what's up with all the part-time stuff? But I believe that Dale Earnhardt Jr., in fact, I know he's all but said that both Carson Quaple and Rajat Caruth, in some way or another, are almost basically guaranteed, I'm trying to couch it as much as possible, to run the full-time schedule in that series next year. It just won't always be the same car, and there could be other Chevrolet partner teams with that. So just something if fans didn't hear that at the end of the season is worth noting.
Yeah,
no,
they have
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah, they have gotten a full-time deal for Carson, not necessarily always in a junior motorsports car, right?
So he's going to be in the one car most of the time, including all of the playoffs. He'll be in probably the 9, I'm guessing. I don't know, but he'll be in another junior motorsports car some of the time, and then there's going to be a period of time when he'll drive a partnered car, a junior motorsports car, maybe for another organization, different numbers. So I think he'll have 3 different numbers. I don't know exactly how the math works on Raja, but I know that he'll be driving the 88, and then I want to say it's Jordan Anderson. And I say that only because that's what he said. I'm pretty sure that he said that.
He did blurt that out, yes.
Yeah, so that partnership will all come together to make him full-time as well.
Yeah. Yeah, start getting your notes ready.
That's right. Yeah, I will.
It's going to look like an extra inning baseball game.
No doubt, yeah.
So there you go. All right, still ahead. We're going to talk about more going on. The new Chevrolet has been unveiled for next year, for the Cup Series at least. So stay with us here on the Pit Reporters.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
All right. Welcome back. Adam and I are talking football over here.
Don't mind us.
We're talking football. And Doug doesn't want to talk about the Falcons.
I'll talk about them if you want, but I think
No, that's all right. We'll give you a break on that. Hey, we're talking going into the break about a lot of things going on right now in the sport. Let's talk about Trackhouse. Says they'll bring back, Doug, the Project 91 next year. We haven't talked about what races they'll run or who'll be in it, but maybe we can hope for Elio Castroneves coming back, maybe.
That was the first thought I had, as the last time we saw Project 91 was with Elio, and it would be great to see someone of his ilk driving that. Justin Marks said, oh, well, it never went away, but I'm thinking, well, it sort of did. We never saw it, but they also ran Connor Zilich in a part-time third car, number 87, last season, and of course, the announcement came that he's going to be the 88 next year. Shane Van Gisbergen will be the 97, so they will have a room to have that fourth car, and with all those numbers rearranging around, so I'm interested to see. I would love to see someone like Daniel Ricciardo, right? But there's always been talk about his affinity for NASCAR, and he even ran the number three in Formula One because he loved Dale Earnhardt. But I think it's going to be, they said they are selling a sponsor first and then selling them on a driver. So fun to see how that comes together.
Well, they could have a great opportunity with that doubleheader with IndyCar in Phoenix.
That's a great point. Yeah. And you know, the out-of-the-box thinking of Justin Marks is just remarkable. And this was one of the great ideas. And you think about what it produced with what Shane Van Gisbergen has become. No one could have imagined that. And now here he is, a full-time driver and coming off a very successful rookie campaign with the five wins and the improvement that he's shown on ovals and how competitive he is. And you know he's always going to have a path to the playoffs. So Justin Marks has done a remarkable job of building his organization. Even though Daniel Suarez is gone, we know he bared a lot of fruit, winning a couple of races. Chastain has been the mainstay. Van Gisbergen and all he's brought to the table. And now you bring in, you know, the guy that was really the talk of NASCAR in 2025 at any level, and Connor Zilich. So across the board, I mean, the Project 91 thing is awesome, but what he has done to build this organization from a single car team to where they are today, just really at every corner has been impressive by Justin Marks.
All right, we talked going into the break about the new Chevy, the Camaro ZL1, which is going to debut next year. What did you think when you saw the car, Doug? Anything impress you about it?
It was tough for me to see a giant difference, and maybe I'm just not a car expert enough to see, but it says something too about where the sport is at and where Chevrolet is at, because the Camaro is not sold as a street vehicle anymore, and it was not last year, if I'm not mistaken, either, right? This is a kit basically for current Camaros that they could buy, or a trim that they could put on their Camaros. So I will be interested to see. Chevy was mighty successful this past season. Maybe not as great as Gibbs, Joe Gibbs Toyotas, but be interested to see if it affects their performance very much, I guess.
Well, they say a larger hood power dome and a revised front grille and more pronounced rocker panels. And I think NASCAR said in their technical update, they're going to put the side panel, what do they call those on the side?
Side skirts? Or?
Side skirts. Yeah, you go. Put yep. Side skirts on. Yeah.
Well, the rocker panels is what I noticed right away. You know, here's what stands out to me about this car. It's nothing about the look, but it's what those in the Chevy family have said. And that is, they're really excited about what they have. And, you know, they weren't hurting in 2025. I know that probably there were times when they're like, what's going on with the Toyota camp, especially early in the playoffs, but they won their fair share of races on the Chevy side. Obviously were able to win the championship. But to hear Jeff Gordon and Rick Hendrick and the top brass at Chevy talk about this new car, they seem to be enthused and feel like that it's a little bit of an ace in the hole. So we'll see what kind of fruit it bears. But the fact that they're excited and have great anticipation over it tells me that they should be on the good side of performance in 2026.
Yeah, it's the A-post flaps is what I was trying
there
to come up with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The safety, flaps. Those are the safety flaps, too, that are supposed to keep the car on the ground when it spins out to work it together with the roof flaps, right?
That's so right.
Yep. It's something that was only at a few of the Super Speedway races this year, and now it's going to be at each race, I think.
Yep. So that's one of the things they're doing. Do want to take a second. This is not a NASCAR-related story, but John Force has announced officially that he is going to retire. 16-time funny car champion. Hadn't run in 17 months, Doug, but not only is he an unbelievable driver, but one of the great personalities in the history of sport.
I got a chance to interview him once for NHRA when they still race just northeast of Atlanta, Georgia here, which unfortunately Atlanta Dragway no longer open. But John Force was a hilarious interview and accidentally told me, this was in 2019, I think it was, accidentally told me that Courtney Force was stepping away because she was pregnant, right? That showed how much of a cannon he was, and probably his PR people, if he had too many around, had a time with him for sure. But he was a ton of fun, and winning 16 championships at anything sounds as foreign to me as having $16 billion. Okay, that's money I can't even fathom. That's championships I can't fathom. And of course, as we all know, in 2024, he almost lost his life. I mean, got severely hurt in a crash and is still on the mend from it. And he said it would take killing him to get him out of a funny car, and it got pretty darn close. So cheers to him. A guy in his 70s was still competitive.
Remarkable career, and I think you said it best, Brett. It's not just what he meant to drag racing, but what he meant across the board to motorsports and the no-rider that he brought, and just his way of thinking to solicit sponsors and to grow not just NHRA but motorsports and that fun personality, it'll be missed. But I'm sure, you know, he's not quiet. So even though he might not be behind the wheel, we'll still hear plenty from him, I'm sure.
He's still going to have folks hanging around the track. I'd be surprised if you don't see him still hanging around.
That's right.
He won't be driving, but he'll be hanging around. Guys, you got to put him in the booth someplace.
Well, I would think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
As long as you got the button.
you might expand the delay when he comes to the booth.
I think probably so. When we come back, we'll get these guys to kind of look back on last season, some superlatives, and maybe some predictions of what the big stories will be in 2026. Stay with us.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at echoparkspeedway.com.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A-car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning. And Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk, heart to heart. So let's talk, for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Adam Alexander from the CW is here. Also, Doug Turnbull from PRN and the Five to Go podcast is here as well. Before we start looking back, let's kind of look ahead a little bit with Ram coming in to the Truck Series this coming year. They're about to have this free agent driver program for get to earn yourself a ride. You picking up your helmet, Adam? You taking it with you? Going to try out this thing?
I need no part of that. That is good what they're doing there. And, you know, we've heard some names out there, some big names, Tony Stewart, Casey Kane. I don't know if there's any truth to those rumors, but it would be great to see some of those types of people come back and get involved in the Craftsman Truck Series. And that's a good spot to do it. I have always thought finally of the times that I've been able to be a part of covering those races and not doing it right now, but certainly did in my days at Fox and back in the Speed Channel. So I'm a big Truck Series fan, and it's great to see that Ram is back and the foundation that could lay for them maybe to be, in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series someday and certainly on the Cup side. And colleague, I feel like, has got their arms around it and putting together a nice lineup.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot ahead of them. So far, they have named three drivers, Butterbean Queen, Daniel Dye, and Justin Haley. And then one of the free agent drivers, one of these guys that wins this competition, however it's going to be handled, Doug, will get one of the rides, and then a fifth driver to be announced. So it's going to be fun to watch this, how they go through this whole competition. Remember, I guess Roush used to have the gong show years ago up at North Wilkesboro, you know, to get a ride. But this is going to be fun to watch how they do this.
And if my understanding is correct, and please butt in if I'm wrong, but it's a race-to-race thing. You're not winning the full season, right? It's something where they're going to announce a new driver each week or something like that. So I thought that stood out to me, although it made me think of this is what the C-tier teams do in the O'Reilly Auto Parts and Truck Series already when you have drivers bring sponsors each week. But I would love to see some names that don't normally get in NASCAR race vehicles get that opportunity, just to Adam's point there, whether it's a big name from the past like Stewart or Kane, or whether it's some short track guys. There's a lot of people, you know, right there on the edge that just need that first shot to do it. And we've seen over the years when people get that one opportunity, you know, Butterbean Queen's a great example there. Is he thought his racing career was done, and then he started winning a good bit in Cars Tour, and then got to ARCA and set the world on fire. So if somebody could have that next opportunity, like Brad Keselowski did in that one-off opportunity with Ultra Motorsports years ago, that was a long time ago for a lot of people thinking, I would love to see it.
Yeah, you're right. It says Ram and colleague will announce the free agent driver on the Monday leading up to each race, keeping the series fresh with different competitors. So it says it's going to be a mix of racing talent with a passion for motorsports. So it'll be interesting to see who they come up with. Like you said, if they show up with Tony Stewart 1 week or Casey Kane 1 week, it's going to be fun.
I mean, Doug brings up what happened with Brad Keselowski, and a star was born that Friday or Saturday night, whatever it was, in Memphis when he filled in for Ted Musgrave and ended up losing that race after starting on the pole and leading the most laps. I believe the Travis Quappel was a little bump and run there, right? And so, but yeah, that was a huge moment for him. Eventually got the ride with Brad, and the rest is history with what he's done in his career. And, you know, you think about some of the veterans that are out there too. And you know, I was thinking of Brendan Queen. I mean, you mentioned it, but you look at what he was able to do from a local short track racer to graduate like he did racing in the Cars Tour. He got that opportunity at North Wilkesboro to run a truck a couple of years ago and finished top five, top 10. And since that time has just continued to grow. Even when he ran the Xfinity car for colleague as a one-off, he made a statement on what his talent level was. So if you can provide these kinds of opportunities to young drivers, it really has a huge upside, not just for them, but to me, the sport in general.
All right, let's take a look back real quickly at 2025. And I'm going to ask you, Doug, first of all, who was your driver of the year? And it doesn't have to be Cup Series, but it could be in any of the NASCAR series. Who's your driver of the year?
Oh, man. So flip a coin. Is it Corey Heim or Connor Zilich? I'm going to give it to Zilich only because Heim was in his, fourth or third full-time year in trucks. I get lost. But Heim has had three standout years in a row in Truck Series and finally got the championship. But Connor Zilich, when you set the consecutive top fives record in Xfinity Series, when you win 10 races, when you win, and Adam would know better than me, was it 6 out of 8 and 4 straight and all that stuff, I don't see how you could top that. Now, maybe the driver – so that's the driver of the year performance. Now, the driver that lives rent-free in everybody's brain has to be Denny Hamlin, and he led the Cup Series and wins too. But I think it's just raw performance, if that's what you're asking me, it's got to be CZ, Connor Zilich.
Who you go with?
I would say Connor Zilich too, and I thought about going with someone different just to go, you know, and give a little love somewhere beyond what Doug said, but I just can't do it. And I know Haim is a great candidate, and obviously what Denny did at the Cup level in winning the way he did and performing at the level he did, he would be, you know, someone that would be on the short list. But to me, Connor was just remarkable, and Doug, you know, read off some of the stats there. But the one thing we have to remember too, not only was he a rookie, he broke his back at Talladega.
Uh-huh.
You know, he misses a race. It's out a couple of weeks there when they had the off week in the spring. Comes back, does double duty at Charlotte, finishes second in the Xfinity race on Saturday, and then runs the Coke 600 and finishes the race on Sunday. Coming off an injury where he broke his back, and then we all know what happened at Watkins Glen. You know, he wins the race, falls, breaks his collarbone, and never missed a race. I mean, he had help from Parker Kligerman when they combined to win at Daytona, but he never set out. So just across the board, there were so many, you know, highs and lows, and I say lows only because he dealt with the injuries, but he bounced back every time. So Zilich is my guy.
All right, so Adam, when you look back at 2025, what one or two stories will you remember?
Well, I would say the Denny Hamlin story is one that we'll talk about for a long time because he had a remarkable year, and the numbers would indicate he's someone that we should talk about. To be able to win for the 60th time in his career, to be winning with the regularity that he's winning with at this stage of his life and career is just remarkable and to be celebrated. And then to get to the championship four and to be on the doorstep of his first championship and to see it, you know, take it away with that late caution. To me, that's a big storyline. The Zilich storyline is remarkable. And then I would throw Haim in there too. I'll check the box on every level. And that being that, you know, Corey Haim sets the record for wins in a season in the Truck Series. And he's able to finish the deal with that incredible restart late and finish it off with a title in Phoenix. So that was very, very impressive.
Doug, what will be the top two or three stories you're going to remember from 2025?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think anything Hamlin-centric, it just has to be. I mean, I hate to keep repeating that. His win at Vegas, I don't think Adam mentioned, among the many things that you could easily forget. And then, too, so off of that, so there's the lawsuit, which I know is unresolved, and that'll continue, I think, to be discussed into our next season as the trial begins soon. There's the lawsuit talk. There's the character arc of him being just a few weeks ago hated and then suddenly cheered for when he won at Vegas. And then there is, because Hamlin, much like Martin, a big proponent of the 1-36 format, and how he became central in the championship too, including the last race, although the format really wasn't what cost him the title. It's just all of that wrapped together. It seems like to me many roads point to Denny Hamlin. I will point to a race though, because so much gets talked about, you know, not on the track, what I just mentioned. But to me, and I know I'm being a homer here, so apologies ahead of time, but the summer Echo Park Speedway race, and not because Chase Elliott won, but how he did it, and we had no idea who was going to win all the way to the end, and you just see drivers taking monster runs and making big moves, is the most visual memory I have from a race this season. And there were some great finishes this year, but so that's an on-track one too.
All right, Doug, quickly, what do you think the big stories are going to be starting 2026?
Tough to know. I think it's just the drivers at the top of the Cup Series are so pinned close together. We do all these predictions, and everybody is supposed to win one or two more races or get on the win board, and those wins have to come from someone. So I really have no idea who's going to stand out except for the battery of people that we saw. And is, say, Chase Elliott going to break out of his funk, or Trackhouse going to break out of it? Can the teams, the non-quote big three teams, catch up after losing some ground this year?
Adam, how about you?
That's fair. You look at Roush Fenway, Keselowski Racing, where do they fit into the equation? They had some really positive moments in 2025, but just couldn't get over the hump. Will they make improvements? Does Trackhouse, you know, beyond what they were able to do on the road course stuff with their new driver lineup and some shifting of crew chiefs, can they be a more formidable team throughout the balance of the campaign beyond what SVG does on the road courses? And obviously Ross won the Coke 600. And then I would also say RCR. You know, that organization is a real head scratcher to me. But I felt like Jim Pulman was a real catalyst for success at Junior Motorsports. Not just getting Justin Allgaier across the finish line and winning that first championship, but if you look at the way that organization grew top to bottom, I mean, they won 17 races as a group with six drivers in 2025. Some of that credit to me universally has to go to Jim Pohlman. He now goes over to RCR. What kind of an impact can he make on their team? And hey, that's not to say Randall Burnett wasn't outstanding. I think Randall was that for Kyle Busch, and I think he'll be that for Connor Zilich. But Jim Pohlman with a reset there could be a difference maker, and I am curious to see what RCR does in 2026.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. They've been so successful in the Xfinity Series, but still struggling in the
that's
Cup
right.
Series. All right, when we come back, white flag laps.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Eric. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for our white flag lap. And first up from PRN and the 5 to Go podcast, it's Doug Turnbull.
First off, just an honor to get to be on with you, Brett, and with you, Adam. It is just such wise people that I've listened to and watched for a long time in the sport. An honor to be on with all of you. I want to say something positive because there has been such a hive of negativity, and I get accused of being maybe overly positive sometimes anyway. But I look at some of the things that people got the angriest about, and I just have to look sideways and go, really, was it that bad? And frankly, as much as we talk about the past and how positively I hear people discuss things from 2014 or 2004, will you look back on 2025 with the same negativity that is being spewed right now by so many people? And it's good to sometimes come here and be on a show like the Pit Reporters and talk about these things sensibly and look at them from all angles. And I hope that people really appreciate what they have in a sport right now, because frankly, you, the people, are the ones that lift the sport up.
Yeah, well said. I agree with you 100%. Next up from the CW, Adam Alexander.
You know, we spent the last segment talking about our stories of the year, and universally, Doug and I talked a lot about Denny Hamlin and his accomplishments, and he was so close to winning that first championship, and I think we all felt the pain and disappointment with him when it didn't work out, because it felt like that was the storybook ending for him to go out and claim that first title. I will say, though, let's give credit where credit is due. Kyle Larson won the championship. He did exactly what he had to do, putting himself in position. He is now a two-time champion, one of the greatest to ever do it. When you talk widely about motorsports and all of his accomplishments, and I will say this, he makes a great champion, not just because of what he does on track, but the way he conducted himself under those circumstances, humility and grace and seeing the big picture when he got the trophy and one of his good friends didn't. I don't want to forget how great Kyle Larson was.
Yeah, and amen. The thing is, you forget that he didn't win the race.
That's right.
All he needed was finish third. That's what he needed to do. So, fun thing to watch. One thing
Ryan
I will say
Blaney
quickly,
for the trivia books.
There you go. One thing I will say quickly is, you know, we talked a lot about the noise that's coming out of social media. One thing to remember is, a lot of times, the loudest people don't necessarily make up the majority. And I think that's a lot of what we're hearing right now. Adam, Doug, thanks a lot. Talk to you next week.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.